Local news with News Radio's news team.
I'm David Wayne for News Radio 92.3.
I'm Steve Taylor for News Radio 92.3.
I'm News Director Joe Ford. Local news radio is so important because during major events or emergencies, you may not always be near a TV. Your phone and internet may go out, but radio is easily accessible and often the first source for information you need to know.
On News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Once you collect all the cans, you put them in the stage. What do y'all sell them, or you just keep them? What do you do with them?
Right now, we're in the process of networking with other counties, cities, other municipalities. Ultimately, our goal is to sell them. Mm-hmm. But if not, we're gonna try to recycle them.
Okay.
Go figure.
Go figure,
yeah.
Right?
But yesterday in his press conference, Mayor D.C. Reeves said something just a little bit different than that. That was the sanitation director. Yesterday he said,
another question I've been asked is, you know, are we going to recycle the old recycling cans? No, we're not. We're looking for the ability to leverage that, whether that's some additional funding to help subsidize recycling by selling the cans. We're not going to make any big quick decisions on what we're going to do with the cans until we know what the opt-in. We may be turning right back around and taking 5,000 or 6,000 of those and putting them back in the city for an opt-in program. We don't know that yet.
There you go. So two different answers, maybe not quite two different answers, but D.C. Reeves is the mayor of Pensacola. This is now 2 weeks in a row we've started with a recycling can drama of some kind. Mayor Reeves, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I know I'm enjoying it.
Okay, so I have questions about this. I know you've kind of been reluctant to give a status update, but it seems like 21,000 cans being picked up is maybe not quite as easy a task as the administration believed it would be. Where do you think we are? Maybe halfway through at this point?
Yeah, we are. And look, I mean, I think I want to be clear, and certainly in defense of staff and everything else. You know, this is a best laid plan situation. There was no playbook to pick up 21,000 cans in a week.
Right.
And, you can lay it out and you can put it on paper. And then the factors of not, you know, picking them up when they're full, them being in garages, us not having enough. And that's not on the citizens, it's on us. I would say always, and no matter the topic, I can always, you know, handle delays or explain delays. I tried. My number one thing is doing what I say I'm going to do.
Mm-hmm.
So obviously this is bothersome to me, but the buck stops with me, you know, so I've got to be accountable to, and lesson learned, that the next time, hopefully never, that we have to pick up 21,000 cans, that we, you know, a lot that we don't get overzealous on our timetable on what we think we can do. So, But at the end of the day, that's not the citizen's fault. It's a complex thing. It's not as easy as just, you know, driving right by and holding an arm out and scooping them all into a truck.
Right.
But we are moving as fast as we can. I can tell you we're going generally north to south in the city. So much of kind of the Summit Boulevard and north area I know has already been picked up. And if it makes anybody feel any better, I live in Sanders Beach, so my can will be last out of the 21,000.
Water.
Exactly. So anyway, I appreciate everybody's patience with it, and you know, we certainly are are double timing it this week.
And by the way, the guidance is still, if you've got your can out on the curb waiting to be picked up, leave it till it's picked up. That's still the guidance, right?
Yes, and I understand the annoyance of that, but there's no other. We had conversations about that to say, well, we have everyone pull them back in. It's hard enough to communicate something to 55,000 people. If we've gotten this far, I don't know that there's a better viable solution. So
no, I agree.
We know it's annoying, you know, but we, you know, we're collecting at a much higher rate, I would say, since Friday, and we worked all day Saturday, we are literally renting trucks and temporary staffing to get this thing double timed and complete.
And so, it's not easy. It's like you say, there's no device designed where you can just go down the street and pick them all up. And unless I'm mistaken, I don't think typically these things stack within each other. You can't nest them within each other. So it's, you know, it's 20 or 30 at a time on the truck and then go drop them under the interstate where you guys have the holding pen and then come back and get more. And it's just a very labor intensive process. Am I wrong?
Yeah, and then there's other wrenches, like again, whether one's full or not,
right.
Whether one's full of garbage or not. Well, if you're taking a U-Haul and going down one street, you know, off Spanish Trail, and half of them are full of stuff, well, then that changes the capacity that you can get. So you know, again, I think it's a, you know, misevaluation on our part of the variables, you know, and again, you know, buck stops with me though. I've got to be accountable to that, and. As I said, the things that make me lose sleep at night is not delays, not inconveniences that we know are coming. It's when we say we're going to do something and we don't do it. And so, you know, the citizens should expect better of me and better of us. But I can tell you, we are diligently on it, and I appreciate everybody's patience as we get that done.
Well, and you know, as we all know, sometimes you think an idea is real simple and you do it, and then all of a sudden you find, oh, you know,
exactly.
You know, that's just the way it is. We're talking to Mayor D.C. Reeves. Mayor, hang on for me for just a second. Let's get Canyon here with traffic on the fives.
There's a lot of cans as we take a look at our roads. We're still showing a slowdown, although not bad now. 29th southbound above Muskogee, so it looks a little bit better than it was. A little slow 29 above 9 Mile, but again, it looks like just usual congestion. We are showing a almost stop, it looks like. This is westbound on Highway 98 in Navarre as you're approaching Avalon Boulevard. If you see an accident or a slowdown, you can text 437-1620, News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable.
Thanks so much, Candy. Back to Mayor D.C. Reeves. You guys talked yesterday a little bit and you know, a little bit of an announcement also that there's a substation being expanded from the Pensacola Police Department. And I had talked to PPD. And they say it's going to be on PSC, that's where it's likely to be located. Is that right?
Yeah, that's correct. The almost alongside the Pensacola State Police facility. And this is something we've been looking at for several months, actually at a previous location in the same area. And this was born from the idea that when people, you know, we have 11 beats for the police department in the city, across the city. And if you have body cam footage, if you have something a transaction as a police officer that happens up off Creighton Road, off 9th Avenue, well, then what do you have to do? You've got to leave there, go all the way back downtown, do what you need to do, and then go back to the beat. So the net result of a north substation, this is not going to be necessarily a customer-facing one. This is not going to be – people aren't going to be booked here. It's really administrative use. But the end result is that you end up having our police officers closer to their beat and in the field more often. So if we can eliminate, I mean, just do the math over, a year of time, how many, 15-minute drives into town, 15-minute drives out of town, back to the beat, you add up all that minutes of time that those officers are instead in the field, on your street, in your cul-de-sac, on your neighborhood, you know, in your neighborhood. I think that's going to be a huge benefit, especially to the north part of our city, to just have more feet on the street because we make it a little easier for them to be able to stay up there. So we're very, very excited about this. It's something we've been working hard on, and we're in the final stages. I was a little more mum about location only because our last location was tripped up at the 11th hour on some legal issues. I certainly don't suspect that here, because this being a university, this is a little bit of a different situation. So I feel very confident that we've got this figured out, but we should be dotting I's and crossing T's here by the end of this week.
Okay, yeah, no, that's great. And I mean, I'm completely on board. I think this makes perfect sense to have a substation located there for North End. Can you say where the other place that didn't work out, or would you rather not? I mean, it's fine if you don't want to. I understand.
Yeah, no, I don't mind saying it because it didn't end. It ended perfectly amicably. We were looking at putting it on at Sacred Heart, and they were very open-minded about that. But it's just a classic case of a private property and public use, especially when you talk about public safety and liability and things like that.
Okay.
So they were very well-intended and wanted to make it happen. We did too. But really, in retrospect, and I even told the Sacred Heart folks this, the Pensacola State Partnership, given the fact that it's next to their police resources, I think it frankly makes a lot more sense. So I'm very appreciative of Sacred Heart and their whole team. Nothing of their fault of why it didn't end up there, just some things that we couldn't overcome. But
yeah,
we were looking there first, and then now I think we really ended with the best result.
And if it's genuinely, you know, cops mostly north coming south to go to the location, I mean, PSC is a little bit farther north. You miss out on a couple sets of traffic lights getting there. You know, these things might wind up being a benefit in the long run anyway. Just kind of a quick thing is I apologize. We talked about the tree thing, and we talked about what your arborist said, which I thought were very forthright comments. I appreciated that. But just in case there was any lingering confusion, two different funds, right? You've got the $1 million for the low-income areas, underserved areas, and then you've got the Tree Planting Trust Fund trying to find a best place to use those dollars. And when organizations come to you and say, hey, we're ready to do this, and it's going to be cheaper than you doing it yourself somewhere else, do it in those places, right?
Exactly. So we now have, thankfully, with this forestry grant, we now have two buckets of tree planting money. One is the traditional bucket that, frankly, I think we have not done a good job as a city of spending. You know, collecting interest, as I've always joked, in a tree planting fund is not the best idea. You want to get it in the ground. But we've got about $250,000, give or take, in that. And that those are funds that are those could be for violations from cutting trees down or fines and penalties, fees, those kinds of things that help fund that. Now, that could be used across the city. There's no stipulations on that. The new money that we're getting, which is $700,000 of that million, is directly to planting. So now, I mean, think about it. We only have $250,000 for the whole city. We now have $700,000 for our lower and middle income areas.
It's a big bunch of money.
That bucket of money is designated to specific areas, general areas, because of how we applied the grant and the fact that we didn't have to put up a match. Because we were able to meet that need. So that will have some more kind of stipulations to it. But unfortunately or unfortunately, we have a lot of opportunity here in the city of Pensacola to help immediately in those areas of our city to help have better tree canopy.
No, and as you have said, as long as the trees get in the ground instead of the money in the bank, I'll be happy to see that outcome. We always like to end on the lightning round, some questions for the mayor. First question for you is, do you name your car? And if so, what's the name?
I don't. Do you?
I used to, but I have a long, weepy story about why I don't name my car anymore. But no, as a kid, yes, not now. Have you ever? Family car, anything like that?
No, I haven't. I just a transactional relationship.
same. I give no love to my car anymore. It's just a device. Is there a household chore that D.C. Reeves particularly despises?
Oh, man. I don't mind putting the laundry in, but putting it away, that's a killer for me. I'll do anything. I'll do anything else. I don't know. I don't know if I lack structure or organization, whatever it is. Putting it all away once it's done, is that one's very painful.
There's nothing quite so joyous as folding a fitted sheet. Come on, that's so satisfying. Everybody loves that job.
Right, exactly.
And then last one, since we began with recycling, we'll end with recycling, sort of. When you are moving your either recycling or garbage bin around, do you A, pull it behind you, or B, push it in front of you?
Always a pull behind. And if I'm feeling dangerous, I won't even take it down the driveway. I'll jump the curb, you know, the steep curb, you know, and maybe the water will splash up from the gutter or whatever. But, But no, always a, and maybe a double pull bind if I, you know, again, if I'm feeling overzealous.
Yeah, that's right. You can't double push, but you can double pull. That's exactly right. Very dangerous times at the Reeves household with the over the curb approach. Mayor DC Reeves, as always, I mean, you're a risk taker. You're an entrepreneur. You know why not? Mayor Reeves, as always, a pleasure, sir. Thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you next week.
Of course. Thanks, Kathy.